I just want to give everyone a very warm and a very sincere welcome to the meeting tonight. It's just a tremendous encouragement just again to see the hall so well filled. And we just want to thank everyone that has accepted the invitation to come tonight. It's a great encouragement for the wee group of Christians that meet here, and it's a great encouragement for yourself. And we really pray that you will keep coming as these meetings continue. We're here again tomorrow night and Thursday night at 8 o'clock, and we'd love to see you back. There'll be no meeting on Friday, no meeting on Saturday, but we'll be back again on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday next week, every night at 8 o'clock for the preaching of the gospel. Now, we really believe that God is working at this time, and these meetings will just really continue as the Lord would lead us. We don't want to restrict God. Sometimes we do restrict God and expect God just to bless in the time scale that we give to him. But we really feel that God is here and that God is working in a mighty way, and we really just would continue these meetings as God would give help and as the Holy Spirit would direct us. So the meetings will be for the rest of this week, tomorrow and Thursday, and then next week, and then we'll see how it goes after that. But we want to thank you very much for coming tonight. Now I want to read again in Mark's Gospel and chapter number 1, Mark chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, don't be concerned, because I'll make the reading that's fairly brief tonight, just from verse 29 down to verse 34, and I'll make the reading as clear as I can. It says in verse number 29 of Mark chapter 1, "And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue," that's the Lord Jesus and his disciples, "they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother," that is his mother-in-law, "lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with demons, and all the city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many demons, and suffered not the demons to speak, because they knew him." Now that's all we're going to read tonight. And again, we just look to God to add a blessing to the reading of his word. Now, those that have been coming to these meetings on a regular basis will know that in the last few nights, we've just really been making our way down through Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. And as we've made our way down through Mark, chapter 1, we have noticed that the Lord Jesus Christ is found in various circumstances. We've seen him at a river at the day of his baptism. We've seen him in the little fishing villages around Capernaum, around Galilee, as he called the disciples after himself. We notice that he's been in the synagogue in Capernaum, and here in the verses that we've read, the Lord Jesus is in the house of Simon and Andrew, and Simon's mother-in-law is lying sick of a fever. And really what I'd want to point out right at the start of the meeting is simply this, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the man for every occasion. He's the man for every season. He's the man for every circumstance. You see, some people have got a very limited knowledge and appreciation and mindset in relation to the Lord Jesus. And they think the Lord Jesus is just for a Sunday, or the Lord Jesus is just for the church. But here in these verses in Mark's Gospel, we've found the Lord Jesus in so many different commonplace circumstances and places of life. He's found at the river, he's found in the seashore, he's found in the synagogue, and he's found in the house of Simon and Andrew. The Lord Jesus is the man for every season, the man for every circumstance. The Lord Jesus is the man for every place and every time. And I'm glad about that. You see, in this gospel, the Lord Jesus is just moving among the common people and just moving in the common experiences of life. And that really teaches me a lesson tonight, that it doesn't matter who we are or where we can come into contact with the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus speaks and the Lord Jesus calls in the different experiences and circumstances of life. It's good to see you gathered here tonight. It's good to be in a gospel hall. It's good to be in a place where the word of God is read and the Lord Jesus is preached. But you know, it's wonderful to know that in every circumstance, we can find the Lord Jesus. He makes himself available. He makes himself accessible to men and women in the different experiences of life. I'm glad that the Lord Jesus is presented in the Bible. He's not one that is aloof and arrogant and standoffish. We don't have to go seeking him. He seeks after us in the varying circumstances of life. And I look over the audience tonight and I thank God that the Lord Jesus in the common circumstances of life is still drawing individuals to himself. How wonderful that we've got a Saviour to present to you tonight that makes himself available
and makes himself accessible to all types of men and all types of circumstances. But you know, the important thing is simply this, that when the Lord Jesus draws near to us in the circumstances of life, the important thing is that we respond to him. The important thing is that we come to him. The important thing is that we put our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus. As he makes himself available, as he calls us, as he speaks to us, all the importance of responding to the call and to the voice of the Lord Jesus in the circumstances of life. We noticed last night that he was in the synagogue, but he's left the synagogue now and he makes his way to Simon's house. The Lord Jesus entered into the house of Simon, just an ordinary fisherman. And yet into that home, there steps the glorious Son of God, the Saviour of the world. What meekness, what humility, what lowliness. To think that the Saviour would step over the threshold and into the home of a humble fisherman from Galilee. I'm glad tonight that the Lord Jesus is prepared to step into the humble homes of men and women in New Cumnock and Cumnock tonight. He wants to step into our hearts. He wants to step into our homes. And wherever Christ goes, he makes a difference. He makes a difference. What a difference he made in Mark chapter 1 when he came into the home of Simon and Andrew. Think of the problem that was there. Think of the fever that was raging and the experience of Simon's mother-in-law. And yet Christ came in. And the fever's gone. And there's a peace and there's a calm. Because Christ is there. Christ makes a difference, doesn't he? Christ makes a difference in a person's life. I tell you, Christ makes a difference in people's homes. And the Savior that we presented from the Bible tonight, he wants to come into individuals' hearts. But he wants to come into individuals' homes. I wonder, has there been a time when you've received Christ into your heart? Well, that's the first step. We'll never know the experience of Christ in our home and changing our home unless we've known the experience of Christ in our heart and changing our heart. The Lord Jesus says, "Behold, I'm standing at the door and knocking. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in." Oh, my friend, I want to ask you, has there been a time when you've opened your heart to the Savior? As he pleads with you. As he calls you, as he knocks. My friend is looking for a response. Will you open the door of your heart to me? Will you let the Savior in? I tell you, he'll make a difference in your heart. He'll make a difference in your life. But I notice in Mark chapter 1 that the Lord Jesus is not only interested in coming into people's hearts, he's interested in coming into people's homes. Remember that occasion in Luke chapter 19, there was a man called Zacchaeus. And he was hiding from the Lord Jesus up a sycamore tree. And the Lord Jesus knew exactly where he was. And the Lord Jesus knew exactly who he was. You see, the Lord Jesus knows exactly who you are tonight. And he knows exactly where you are. Well, he knows exactly where you are geographically, but he knows where you are in your thinking right now. Because there might be some of you sitting here, and you might be here geographically, but in your mind you might be 1,000 miles away. The Lord knows that. The Lord knows everything about us. It's a solemn, searching thing, isn't it? To know that there's nothing that we can hide from God. There's things that you can hide from others. There's thousands of things that you can hide from me, but there's nothing we can hide from God. He knows everything. And he knows where we are tonight. And he knows who we are. And he knows all that we've done. He knows every detail of our life. He knew every detail of Zacchaeus' life, and he called him. He called him. He said, "Zacchaeus, come down. Zacchaeus, come down." Oh, my friend, what an appeal, eh? What a call from the voice of the Lord Jesus to Zacchaeus. Come down. Zacchaeus, the hated, despised tax collector. Zacchaeus, come down. But the Lord Jesus didn't stop there. He says, "Come down." He says, "Because I want to," he says, "I want to come into your house. I want to come into your house." What a difference the Lord Jesus Christ made in Zacchaeus' house. My friend, the Lord Jesus Christ wants not only to come into your heart tonight to save your soul and cleanse you from your sin and give you life eternal. He wants to come into your home. One of the things that touches my heart as I move around from place to place is simply this, the number of broken homes. number of broken homes. You come looks full of them. Knocking legs full of them and come looks full of them. Broken homes. Homes that have been ruined by sin. Homes that have been broken up. Homes that are marked by instability. Homes that are marked by immorality. Homes that have been shattered by the enemy, working in the lives of men and women. Broken homes.
Praise God, the Saviour of the Bible. He not only wants to heal broken hearts tonight, He wants to heal broken homes. He wants to come into your home. Lord Jesus Christ is interested in all your family tonight. He's not only interested in you as an individual, He's interested in your whole family. I believe the Bible would teach us about household salvation.
Every member of the household coming to know the Lord and being united in Christ and being a living witness and testimony for Him in the community. That's what God's interested in tonight.
And after these meetings are finished, whenever that will be, you know what God wants? He wants him come up in a newcomer in the places round about. He wants there to be homes that are set up as a testimony for him, as to what a Christian home should be. A light of testimony in the darkness. My friend, Christ is interested in you tonight, and He's interested in your home. He's interested in your family. He wants to heal the brokenness. He wants to heal the wounds. He wants to bind up. He wants to draw together. He wants to unite. He wants families to be united around Himself. He wants to be the centre of peace in your home tonight, just as He wants to be the centre of peace in your heart. I wonder how would you feel if the Lord Jesus Christ was to come into your home tonight? Step right into the home of Simon Peter. Step right into the home. How would you feel if right now the Lord Jesus was to step into your home? There was a chap in America that wrote a little booklet, The Day That Jesus Came to My House. The Day That Jesus Came to My House. How would you feel if Jesus came to your house then? Just for a wee look around. Just for a wee look at your reading material. Just for a wee look at what you were watching in the television and all the videos that you had. How would you feel if the Lord Jesus Christ was just to have a look to see what was on your walls and to see the things that you practice in your home? The Lord Jesus coming into your home. I'm sure if the Lord Jesus Christ came into your home, I'm sure you'd be a wee bit embarrassed. As you think of all the sinful practices that take place in your home. As you think of that which has been the subject of your conversation. And the Lord Jesus, imagine the Lord Jesus, they are just taking note of all. Jesus in the home. You see, when the Lord Jesus is really invited in to clean up the home, I tell you, my friend, things have changed.
If you go through Mark's Gospel, you'll discover that time and time again we see the Lord Jesus in the house. And when the Lord Jesus comes in the house, He brings deliverance and He brings healing.
I know what your home is needing tonight. I know what your family is needing tonight. I know what your heart's needing tonight. Deliverance from the power and bondage of sin. Healing from the wounds that sin and a sinful lifestyle has made over the years. My friend, when Christ comes in, He comes in with a ministry of deliverance and a ministry of healing. When the Lord Jesus Christ is in the home in Mark's Gospel chapter 2 in the opening verses, we discover that that home becomes the centre of attraction. Christ is there. And that home is so different. And His presence is so real that others are attracted to that home because Christ is there. Wouldn't it be wonderful if Christ was in your home? Not just as an occasional visitor, but we're there as a permanent resident. Taking control, allowing His presence to permeate Everything that you do and everything that you say, I tell you, my friend, your home would be different if Christ was sitting there as the honoured guest, moment by moment and day by day. Ah, my friend, his presence would make your home a drink. I discovered in Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, when the Lord Jesus comes into the home of Jairus, I tell you, he brings life. He brings life.
You see, when the Lord Jesus went into the home, there was the stench of corrupting flesh. There was the stench of death.
But when Christ came in, I tell you, there was life. There was life. Maybe if the Lord Jesus was to come into your home tonight, my friend, maybe there would be that, maybe there would be that stench of death. Because everything that is associated with sin is death. But my friend, Christ brings life. He's the life giver. When Christ comes into a home, my friend, the atmosphere changes. It's the atmosphere of life. With all its happiness and joy, and its peace, and its reality, and its satisfaction. It's all there when Christ is there. I notice that when Christ is in the home, in Mark's Gospel chapter 14, there's worship.
And there's a woman comes with a box of ointment and she breaks it and she pours it on the Lord Jesus and she just wants to worship him and praise him and adore him because he's everything to her.
My friend, if Christ is allowed to come into your heart and allowed into your home, my friend, your home will be a place of worship. When Christ is at the center, and day by day and moment by moment, there's praise and worship arising to God because of his lovely Son. The Lord Jesus. Oh my friend, I can impress upon you that the Lord Jesus is interested in you. He's interested in you as an individual, but he's interested in more than you. He's interested in your family. He's interested in your home. He wants to make a difference. But my friend, you'll never be able to introduce Christ to your family until you come to know Christ yourself. Until you come to know Christ yourself. My friend, do you know him? Has there been a time when you've received him? Has there been that point when you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus to be your Saviour? Have you come to know him personally? Have you had the privilege of sharing Christ with those that are in your family? Around about Christ makes a difference. When the Lord Jesus moved into this home in Capernaum, the home of Simon, and his mother-in-law was lying there and she was sick of a fever. I suppose with that fever there would come a tremendous agitation and a tremendous restlessness and a tremendous anxiety. You know what it's like when someone is burning hot with a fever, that they don't know where they put themselves and they're tossing and they're turning in their bed and they're sweating and they're shaking and they don't know where they lie and they can't get any peace. That's what marked this home when Christ came in. My friend, what we see in Peter's wife's mother is just a little picture of the restlessness that sin brings into the hearts and into the homes of men and women. We looked last night at the man in the synagogue and we noticed that he had an unclean spirit and he would have a picture to us of the uncleanness of sin. That sin defiles men and women and Christ can cleanse them. But sin not only brings uncleanness, sin brings restlessness. And the Christ that can bring cleansing for the unclean is the one that can bring peace and rest to the restless and the agitated and the anxious. Maybe you're in the meeting tonight and this is just a little picture of your life. It's just a life of restlessness. Of constant agitation. And you're running here and there and you're looking for peace and you're looking for satisfaction and you're looking for reality and you can't find it anywhere and you're jumping around day after day after day, running here, running there. And it's the whole same round of things and you can't find what you're looking for and it's restlessness, agitation. My friend, you'll never find what you're looking for until you find Christ. You'll never find the answer to your problems until you find Jesus. You'll never find rest and peace until you find it in that glorious man who bears the title Prince of Peace. Are you restless tonight? Are you agitated? Are you jumping about day after day, week after week, month after month, just looking for something, searching for something, chasing something? I see it every day, every day, every day, restlessness.
same session we go to the book of the Revelation, and the writer to the Revelation, he pictures the nations as the sea. And of course, as we think of the sea, that's what we think about: agitation, restlessness. That's the world, isn't it? That's the world that we're living in. That's the society. That's the experience of multitudes tonight. Just restless. It's chasing this and that and the next thing, and never really finding, never grasping what they're seeking after. And down there in the cafe and come out every day, we see people agitated, restless. Some folks, we can hardly get to speak to them for a few minutes because their eyes are going here and there, and they're out and they're in, and they're here and they're there, and they're agitated, and they're restless. The restlessness of sin. The restlessness of the human heart. Here's this woman, and she's burning up with a fever, and she's restless. And it says concerning Simon and Andrew and the other disciples that they tell Jesus about it. Tell Jesus about it. Good to tell Jesus about this. Yeah. You see, he's the one that's got the answer. My friend, Christians in the meeting tonight, it's good to tell Jesus about the needs of others. It's good not only to tell Jesus about them, it's good to bring others to him, because that's what we had at the end of the wee verses, that they brought people to Jesus. They brought their friends, they brought those in need, they brought them to Jesus. Oh, Christian friend in the meeting tonight, if we really grasp the tremendous need in the hearts and lives of men and women, I tell you, we would not only tell Jesus about them, but we would seek to bring them to Jesus. Because he's the only one that can meet the need. The restlessness of the sinner's heart, the uncleanness, the defilement of their lives, it's only Jesus that can cleanse, it's only Jesus that can bring peace. Oh, that we would tell the Lord Jesus about the needs of our friends and our relatives and our workmates and the people in our community, and know that we would do all we can just to bring them to him, because he's the answer. And they looked at this dear woman lying there in her bed, agitated, restless, and they tell the Lord. And the Lord Jesus steps forward and he takes her by the hand. What a touch. A touch of tenderness. Yet a touch of power. Oh, my friend tonight, hear this woman and all her desperate need, and she just feels a touch. It's the touch of the hand of the Prince of Peace. My friend, we're praying that someone would just feel the touch of Christ in their life. The Prince of Peace. The one that has made peace by the blood of his cross. And the one that gives peace to all those that trust in him. All those that follow him. The Lord Jesus said tonight, come to me. All you, all those that are weary and heavy laden, come to me. I'll give rest. Is that what you're looking for tonight? Is that what you've been searching for years? Is that what you've been chasing? Rest! My friends, you'll find it in him. You'll find it in Christ and nowhere else. My friend, you won't find what you're looking for at the bottom of a bottle. You won't find it in a pill. And you won't find it in powder. And you won't find it in a needle. And you won't find it in religion, and you won't find it in pleasure. My friend, you'll only find it in Christ. The Lord Jesus has come to me. All those that are weary, heavy laden, all those that have been chasing and chasing and chasing for satisfaction and peace and fulfillment and happiness, he says, come to me. I'll give you what you're looking for. I'll give you rest. And this woman knew the reality of coming into contact with the Lord Jesus for just in a moment. She was gone. The restlessness had disappeared. The burning up was finished. Christ had touched her. Christ had met her needs. And immediately, she got up and she served others. She served others. What a change, eh? One minute she's so weak and she's so helpless and she's so agitated that she can't help herself, never mind help anyone else. And the next moment she's up and she's busy and she's ministering and she's serving others. Why? Because Christ has touched her. Christ has intervened in her life. She's felt the touch of the Master. My friend, the Lord Jesus wants to touch your life. He wants to give you peace. He wants to take away that agitation. He wants to give you what you've been searching for. Then, my friend, will you come to him? He's available, he's accessible, he draws near. Even in a meeting like this, the Lord Jesus calls you away, sin, calls you away from the world, calls you away from all the restlessness of life's experience. He calls you to himself. He's available. He wants you to trust him. And he'll give to your heart that peace that passes all understanding. The Lord Jesus says, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you, but my peace. My peace. The Lord doesn't give the way the world gives. You know the way the world gives. When the world gives you something, it's always looking for something in exchange. There's always an angle. My friend, there's no angles with Christ. There's no hidden agenda. The Lord Jesus is transparent. He's straight up and down. And he says, listen, he says, I don't give the way the world gives. I don't give meagerly. I don't give miserly. He says, I give out of the abundance of all that I am. And he says, it's my peace, my glorious peace that I give to those that trust me. My friend, the peace that Christ gives to me is a peace that he's purchased for us by his awful agony and his torment and his suffering at the cross of Calvary. The Lord Jesus has come to me in all your agitation and all your weariness and all your restlessness. He says, come to me, I'll give you rest. I'll give you peace. The Lord Jesus will not only give you peace tonight, he'll give you strength. Strength to live a new type of life. Strength to be a witness for him. Strength to be a testimony to others and to minister to others and to share with others. That's what she's doing. And you see, everyone that really feels the touch of Christ in their life and experiences his cleansing and experiences his peace, I tell you, he consecrates them to his service. He sets them apart. That they might be his and that they might serve him and tell others of him. And my friend, if you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ tonight as your Saviour, and he brings rest into your heart, I tell you, he'll not only make a difference in your heart, he'll make a difference in your home. Make a difference in your family. Because the first individuals that you would have a responsibility to tell about the Lord would be your wife, or your husband, or your partner. And your children, oh my friend, wouldn't it be wonderful if there was someone left this whole night just to go back home to tell their loved ones that they've found the Saviour? What a meeting it would be if there was some souls along this side of the hall or that side of the hall, and tonight you were to come into living contact with the Lord Jesus and to find his peace and to go home and to share it with others. But not only your individual life was changed, but your whole family was changed because of a touch from the hand of that glorious Prince of Peace, Christ in me. The Lord Jesus is interested in you. He's interested in your family. And he's interested in your home. Oh my friend, will you let Christ in me? Will you let him into your heart? I wonder, will you let Christ into your home? And I tell you, he'll make a difference. He'll make a difference that other people will see. Because you'll become a servant. You'll become a minister of him, and you'll serve him in the everyday things of life, showing forth by what you do the wonderful things that Christ has done and given to you this way. Our Father, we just bow again in thy presence and commit thy word to thee. We just pray that we continue by thy Spirit just to speak to individuals. In this hall, we would really covet not only individual salvation, but we would covet and pray for household salvation tonight. Pray, O God, that they would single out homes in this community, that they would really touch by thy divine power, that they would seal by thy divine grace. Pray, O God, that they would single out homes, that they would become lights of witness and testimony for thee, that there would be the evidence of God in these homes, of the mighty workings of thy sovereign power in salvation and in blessing. So, Father, we just commit thy word to thee. It was promised that it won't return unto thee void. And we pray, God, that even tonight it would accomplish that to which thou hast sent it. As we ask these things, giving thanks and praying for a parting blessing in the Lord's name. The meeting's over, apart from the singing of a couple of verses of a hymn. We'll just sing 269, hymn number 269. We'll just sing the first two verses. I hear thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to thee for cleansing in thy precious blood that flowed on Calvary. I am coming, Lord. We pray that someone would make this the very prayer of their heart tonight, even as we sing it. I am coming, Lord, coming now to thee, trusting only in the blood that flowed on Calvary. Though coming weak and vile, thou dost my strength assure, thou dost my vilest fully cleanse, though spotless all and pure. We'll just keep our seats and sing these two verses of 269, and then the meeting is finished. As we mentioned last night, we have some booklets that are free of charge. I'll have some in my hand at the back of the hall, and if you want one of these booklets, then just ask me for it and I'll give you it free of charge and pray that it might be a blessing to your soul. So 269, the first and the second verses only remaining. Thank you.